Rabbi Akiva once quoted the Gemara. Younger Amoris was sitting, and then he went to the next room, and the next room was full of Amoraim, Choshevim, older ones, younger ones. They had a problem because the younger Amoraim were sitting near the door. He walked in. The Choshevim were sitting in the back. So who's going to give Shlomo Aleichem the first? The ones up front, the younger ones. But how's he going to get to the back? So he stopped for a minute, and he viewed and looked at everybody, and he said, Rabboisai, I give you all my Shalom Aleichem. I said the same thing. Some of you I know very well, some I know pretty well, and some of you I don't know at all. So I give all Shalom Aleichem. I'm very happy to be here. We have to make it a little faster, catch it somewhat late. Now, which ones am I going to give you? I'm playing specially for these. Why am I making... Because I'm making a big issue out of this. I do it in New York also. I'm speaking tonight in yeshiva every once in a while. I'm not a youngster anymore. Where did I get tickets for? I can stay up till 3 o'clock. When I was younger, I stood up at 3 o'clock, make a drasha, make a shir, whatever it was, and then put in a full day. You can't do that when you're older, believe me. Especially my responsibility. So where did I get all this? Where did I get it? I got it from the computer. And I must tell you, it's very, very comforting when boys come over to me and tell me, Rebbe, you're going to be happy what I say. I just got from one of the young men who was very good at it in the yeshiva. I got data bank on a computer, and I'm putting everything on a computer now. Or they come over and tell me, Rebbe, you're very happy. This happened just recently, maybe three fellas. I spoke over Shabbos, I spoke, and it went very well. Because in the yeshiva, we stress very much as you speak. One of the young men, one of the Turks, was part of the SEED program out in L.A. And the first day was there, came out here to speak. He spoke, and they liked it. They asked him to speak. He spoke every time he was there, all together about five times. And one time, 5 minutes before Myrov, Balabas says, Rebbe, you have 5 minutes, get up and say something. He got up and spoke. When they left L.A., this Balabas came over to the young man and said, I know you plan to go to Butzah Satora. I want you to know I will help you. That means he's willing to help and support him. He was so impressed with him. He was there 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But speaking is very important, and having keeping records on a computer is very important. Now, I'm not sure. I do have a list of all the shilas, mishmash shilas I ask here, but that's from Polygon. Polygon made it for me. Yehiel Polygon, but I couldn't find them. The reason is because they never got on the computer. Part of Megadamba. So I don't know exactly which one he has, but I want to ask a few that I think are very important. And again, I want to, especially for the new fellows, stress the importance of Mitzvah Shainis. The first time really hit me goes back to 1964. What was the 1964? It was the year we went there to sail. The first time in history, a yeshiva, a whole yeshiva, lock, stock, and barrel moving there to sail. And there was yeshivas. We need money, so they sent me to L.A. Now that I wasn't a fine fundraiser there, I'm not a fundraiser now. I'm not like you on Hola here. And I just want to tell you parenthetically what it means. I say I'm not a fundraiser and the importance of it. About 4 years ago, when Rosh Hashanah was still alive and quite active, there was a little ad hoc meeting in his office. All of a sudden, he turns to Rabbi Harris and he says, Rabbi David, you think this all on the top? You're all the way up. You're serious nervous for Torah. What are you doing for Torah? Rashi says, no. Chaim Schwartz. Well, Chaim Schwartz? Why was Chaim Schwartz? Because Chaim Schwartz is involved in fundraising. And a yeshiva doesn't have a good fundraising situation, it's not going to go well, you see. One of our branches just came to Rabbi Harris about a month ago. He said, Rabbi, financially it's just not going. So Rabbi Harris told him, give up the shir and go out and raise money. So he says, Rabbi, but a little shir in the morning, year and a half, no nothing, a whole day. Rabbi Ben Zion Shay told me when he was here in the formative years, things were not going well at all. The Rosh Yeshiva Tzitzal on three occasions told him, give up your shir entirely and spend the whole day raising money. So it's very important that you have to be able to raise money. The Rosh Yeshiva held that way. So the Rosh Yeshiva has to be involved in the Bochum. Very important, giving yeshir and raising money. Anyway, what happened? In 1964, I was sent to L.A. to raise money. And I said, I'm not a fundraiser. I was there for about a week. I had a very nice kosher rov that took me in. It was nice, but not much money. Then all of a sudden, the rov from the biggest shul in L.A. proper came in to see the rov. And he looks at me. He says, Nyman, what are you doing here? What's that? He's from Chicago. He should be a Smedesh Torah. I was there in high school, but he was on synagogue, but he knew me. So I told him, I'm here to raise money. I'm talking about the project. Project Bnei Aliyah. He says, it sounds very good. And Naiman, I wish you Hatzlocha. Okay. But he didn't offer anything else. All of a sudden, he turns to me and says, no, Mebbe Saren, you say something. Let's hear the Torah or something. I said, what's it do? What does he want? I'm going to say Shmuz. I'm going to say Pilkul. I'll ask him a Shmashayla. That's what I did. I asked him, Mishaila, give me an answer. He was one of the top Talmidim Nishiva then. Two, three. Three Shailas and hit them all. She says, you see, Naiman? 15 years out of the Shiva, Mekenoch HaBasalem. Naiman, I want you to come to the my shul Sunday morning, be there to davening. If he tell me to come Shabbos, that means I'm going to make an appeal. But they don't permit that in the biggest shul in L.A. So what does he want? I come Sunday morning, right after the davening. It's like, I don't know, a whole storm of tellers, balabatim, and they're handing me checks. So I said, don't you know? I said, no, I don't know. Well, the rov speak about your special project, Bnei Aliyah, and he said, we should support it. That's where the money came from. That's all the money I made in that religion. It was very nice, very substantial, but that was it. But what made it successful? The three mishmashayos. I also, over the years, I've noticed sometimes, and you're not in this parsha, but you'll be there someday. You're going out with a young lady, you meet the father, and the father wants to do, not to ma tivu shilguzu, I cannot learn. Who's hooked up a siver? Say something, just like he did to me. So I say, good, be prepared. Ask him a mishmashal. This is Shabbat. And it goes over very well. And this, sitting in the sukkah, Hashanah Rabbah, I'm sitting, and all of a sudden, says, Rabbi Naiman, you're the mishmashal man, aren't you? Let's hear a few Shabbat. What? But I gave him three Shabbat, and they're very happy. And not only that, I must tell you, two of the women got a couple got the shayos. It was about four shayos. And my granddaughter and my daughter each got a shayos, one of the shayos. Anyway, a very important, you keep a record. I guarantee you, you'll put them to good use. Now, I picked several shayos. First of all, because I'm saying you should have them and use them, what I think are very apropos. Now, this is probably, remember, how did Mishma Shayos come to the yeshiva? Because of Scheinberg, of Pinchas Shabbos, sign is so gesund sein, was Mashgiach and Yeshiva, and he started Thursday night. Every Thursday night there was a Mishmor. Three Shailas. Later the Rosh Yeshiva took it over, but Rosh Yeshiva cannot do it on a regular basis because he's very busy saying Yeshiva, Shmuz, talking to boys, but every once in a while, that's after Rosh Scheinberg left, Rosh Yeshiva started doing it, but not too long. And then I started doing it, but I want to just mention parenthetically, you have to know, to really understand what a Mishma Shaila is, there was a machlekes, a very thorough and very basic machlekes between Rav Shivazal and Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg, and he has two swarm Mishma Shailas. Most of them you can't use. At least we couldn't use. Why? Because it's a svara. It's not meyubei. It's not something was overlooked. You're saying a good svara. Mizok Chana Tesis. I say one pshat, you say another pshat. Rashiva says, that's not a mishmash. And mishmash is, once you give an answer, that's it. You overlook something, you have to catch something. That, in other words, you break it up. It doesn't exist anymore. And that's why mishmashals are quite different. These when I say Rashamish Sefer, and people use it. But it's not a real mishmashal. And you're not trying to develop a Bachan thinking, being creative. Zogun Svoras sometimes are a dime a dozen. So I say, Morton, you have to collect shilas that are basically Havana or Meyubei. Now, the first one, I may have asked this before, but I think it's of Sheinberg's most, I would say, outstanding shila, and it goes over very well. Sounds like this. We know this halacha, Rav Meir Achaya Shem Yuti. What does that mean? That Rav Meir didn't rely on a rov, because every rov has a mute. If you walk down 13th Avenue in New York, most of the butcher shops are kosher, and you find a package of hock meat, hamburger, pick it up, you love to take it home, use it. Because rov is mutter, and each of rely on rov, but not Rav Meir. Rav Meir, you couldn't take it. You couldn't do it. Because it's chash nemiuti. If I can't in your moments, you'll have several areas and live in your life. From there, it's chash nemiuti. Don't say that. Rov Noshim gave birth when they were out of town. There's no din even. No. He doesn't rely on it. So, they asked the kasha, Shiltake, how did Rav Meir eat meat? He didn't have his own shechen. Every time they wanted to eat a chicken, he called out the shechen. No. He bought meat in the store, and like everybody else, and if he found meat on a package of meat, he took and used it. Aye, there's a mute. And Ramirez Chash a muter. How did he take that meat? How does he use a rope? In the places he did use a rope, and here's one case. But Shalas, why did he use this rope? What's unique about this rope or this situation should make a difference? If you choish from the mute, you think, well, there's a mute. A rope, there's a mute. But if you heard this before, please don't mention it. And it usually we have someone whisper to me first, so we give a chance to others to give the answer also. And also, you have a satisfaction, you'll tell it to your future generations. This is a shaila I heard from Rabbi Nyman 50 years ago, and I gave an answer. So the first few whispered to me. Do you remember this? It's a good Mishra shot, isn't it? I think this is Rabbi Shimer's. Some beautiful shots, but this is one of the best. Was anybody? Yeah, right by me. You remember it, huh? How many times have you used it? Remember, I told you, Rabbi Shimer, this is very important. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, and I'll tell you again next time here. I have a Yesod for a Mendel Levin. Mendel Levin, Rashiva told me that he was the only one in the yeshiva. We had big bakis and big bali havana, and that he was the only one that synthesized everything, bakis and havana. And I once had him during the summer. His wife was in a mountain, my wife was in Chicago, so I told him, stay with me. So he told me once, Nyman, you think I have a big good memory? You're making a mistake. I don't. But I have a little gimmick. What's the gimmick? Every time I hear a nice svara, a nice shaila, a nice joke, and within a few days I repeat it again. I repeat it three times. Once I repeat it three times, I have it. I can't say I remember. I try also and it helps. But the computer does a better job. But it's important. I ask him, he heard the shaila. Have you repeated it several times? Did you ask your father? You ask yes at the table? At the table, it's wonderful. What would he speak at the table? Have been told. Ask a shayla. And say it over three times. Anyway, anybody that doesn't remember, I did ask it before, right? I asked it once before. So, who didn't hear it or forgot it, what would you say, Rabbi Zayn?
I don't
say it so often. Because you only have to say one word.
Oh, No,
because if it's neat with the
whole shaila of whether when do we not hold a rov? That's if you found a piece of meat without a hechsher. So since there's no hechsher on it, so you say, oh, you know, we don't care. Even though most butchers here are Jewish, and they're all frumigidin, we don't assume that this is also a kosher meat.
Why?
No, but if you go to a shochet that you know bevadai, he's a good shochet.
You don't know the shochet. You found it in the street. If you know, in general, most of the shochetim.
Also, bevada, yeah.
Know the business, but I was on by Ramesha. The young man that wasn't doing a kabbalah for shita. He took a knife. I was standing there. Turned around on the banister, the south side of the hall, went like this. He made several nicks and said, "Move that. Light waiting, show me where the nicks are."
What?
So that's how they come, and then he asked me questions. So Rove shocked them, I like that, but near Diamond, they never went through that part, they don't know.
Right.
So how can you eat meat? Meat shocked them, don't know.
So according to America, you only ate meat if you knew the shocked.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
Yeah?
No. You remember?
I just have shot.
What?
Last.
What?
Last.
It was last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody, if I say, anybody. Now wait a minute, last year some of the boys got it, didn't they? Come on, if they got a last year, they should get it. What?
I think Rebbe told them.
That's all one robe and one meal. That's all. Another robe knows, and meal don't know. Based on our mindset, what are we talking about here? We're not talking whether he had to pass an oral bechina. We have to know, did a Meisah Shechita? What's the Meisah Shechita? The Meisah Shechita is my brother again. You have a shirt still here. But you have to be careful. You can't press, you see. You can't go to the side. You can't make sure the sakan is kosher. There are five Hilchos Shechita that must be careful to get past it. So Taka, he didn't know the five halachos. He didn't know the halachos, but he knows one thing. You take it. You. So what does that mean? He cut slices of a loaf of bread. No halachos over there, all right, but what's he doing here? He's cutting the throat of an animal. He doesn't know the five. He doesn't know he's not allowed to press. He doesn't know that you have to he doesn't know that you can't stop in the middle. So what? So what does that mean? That means I know Baba, he didn't shecht well? What happened? He didn't know the halachos, but he did the maisa. So what does that mean, he did the maisa? I can assume that what other factor comes into consideration? Because of what, my boy, say? What? Why is it a mitzvah music? Explain it to me. He told all the photos of a mitzvah music.
Possibly he got it by accident.
He didn't know the halachas, but if you it's like cutting a halacha mice, have ever straight it all, he does it takes a night. It's like cutting a loaf of bread. So Enoch Anami, he didn't know the halachas, but the mice itself is not that complicated. Even though he doesn't know, he never had the halachas, he never had the background. He doesn't have the background, but it could be still shechted good. So the mute is not a mute, it's a mute to mute. No, next couple. Please remember, that's a nice shaila. It's getting late. Lisa, what we have? Let me get the next one. You get me late, and I'll probably be tomorrow also. Now, halacha maisa. Netilas lulav. Lulav and Esed, very important. I'm sure he spent a lot of time in it. The halacha is what happens. You know, there's different type of Jews, and who knows what and what they're doing because they want to fit in the crowd at the shul. And he's not going to turn out $100 for hours. He went and stole the lulav and Esed. Stole it. So the halacha is there's a mitzvah deraisa to perform the mitzvah, abu minim, and you sold it, that is classified as a mitzvah habo bavera, and you're not yeser. Oh, but it depends. What day are we talking about? The mitzvah deraisa on the first day. After the first day, so then the rabbanan. And the halacha is, if it's a deraisa, oh no, no. You stole it. You can't use it. Forget about it. But on the second day, it's only the Rabbanon. We're not going to hold them back. He does it. All right. You're doing it very, doing it very. And Lamaisa, he gets schar for him. He gets both. He gets klep eventually, but he also gets the schar. That's why Mr. Rabbanon. And Mr. Rabbanon, we do not say mitzvah b'aveir. We don't stop them, but there's a shaila. What about lighting candles or lulav and esrog on the second day? Hamai said, we will stop them. Don't you dare do it. Don't you go and steal that. What are you going to steal? What's your business? I'm going to do it. What about that? Don't you do it. You can't do it. There's an aver involved there, an aver involved. This is the Gabonon. This is above there's no party. Why do we tell them that by these two mitzvahs, state clore, that you cannot permit, you stop them from doing it, and you cannot light candles for Shabbos if you stole them, and you cannot use the you cannot use the shemen, the oil you have for Hanukkah. On lulav and esrog we don't give any trouble. Lulav and esrog on the second day yontif he can be. He did it. He's over, but he's yotzei the mitzvah because by a mitzvah the rabbanon we don't say mitzvah b'avera. But when it comes to shemen Hanukkah or lighting candles, we stop them. Don't let them do it. No. What do you mean? I know a lot also. I want to do it. I'll be over. I'll get the mitzvah. The bearers, I got a lot of mitzvah. I got the hand, it's alright, but we don't let them. You can't light candles for Shabbos and you can't light shemen for Hanukkah. What's the difference?
Part of the mitzvah has to be yours, huh?
What?
Part of the mitzvah has to be yours.
By the second day, Sukkot has to be yours, doesn't it? Candlelight has to be yours. What does it have to be yours? Doesn't have to be yours any more than the and then the dalad mitam on the second day. Sukkot doesn't make any difference.
What does one have to do with the other?
We won't stop like that.
You won't be able to if you license that oil, probably he will.
So we tell him not to. We don't want him to do it. Probably will.
Probably he will. Is it because one is a mitzvah rabbana and the candle of mitzvah rabbana? It's not like a mitzvah that was made by the rabbana. It was just like a tachana that you should continue the mitzvah of
ruach
from the
rest.
It's like a lesser level.
You're saying so. It might be good, but it wouldn't be. That's not a mishmer. It's a side of the curve. You got me. You know, you're very something. Rabbi Naaman is pulling the wool over us. Of course. No, no, no. Don't you light those candles for Shabbos. Don't you light the Shemen Machanekah. Abba Mina, we don't make Sufek Yeshua out of it. He's already with us. We're not going to fight with him. He wants to do this. We won't put up a foot. Don't you do it.
Is there another thing you're not supposed to
do? When?
Is there another concept you're not supposed to, close the Briasso? Like, you can't change it?
You can't do a what?
You can't change, like, the Zela? You want to change it?
How do you change it?
Well, by lighting it, you're gonna. It's not the oil won't be there anymore.
Why is that? If he has dollar needed, he can give it back. Eventually, he can do two and give it back. But once he burns the candles and burns up the shemen, follow. Very good. Remember, that was very nice. And it didn't take so long, did it? It didn't take so long.
No.
A boy said,
you
have a little idea what our Mishnah Shabbos are, and I'm going to ask you a Shaila. I can't really classify it as a Mishnah Shaila, but I'm asking you a Shaila because an Adam Gottel Israel is in the yeshiva who used to give bechinus to the Talmidim. I'll get the seat to here, I hope. Anyway, he used to, not only was he the top Rosh Yeshiva, but he gave bechinus for smicha. And one of the Talmidim, maybe himself told me, because he had shaykhus, this Rosh Yeshiva was once learned by us and he got smicha. But it was not involved in Mishnah Shabbos, but this is a shayla he asked one of the Talmidim before he wanted to give him smicha. What was the shayla? He asked him kasha. If you missed the minion and in a big theater you can't get out of it now, and you didn't say Krishna yet, so it says you're allowed to make a shomer. You missed the minion. You make a shomer. But let's say two of us are eating together at the same table. I'm eating melechtiks and you're eating fleshiks. Also, we're afraid that maybe they get mixed up inadvertently. While I'm eating meat, I'll take some milk. A shomer does not help. So this worship asks, why not? If shomer helps, like Krishna, it's a derisa, Krishna morning, late, whatever it is, why doesn't it help here? You see that you're starting to take milk. No, you're eating your pleasures. Why doesn't... Now, this I never asked, right? No.
Maybe because they gave a devil saying, if you ask the other guy to be a shomer, he's no gave a devil. He's not going to want to say, wants to share the food.
You're saying a sword now. We want something more than the sword.
Yeah. So both mess up.
What?
Because he's a shomer
here,
you're not a shomer there.
You can't even take. You can't take another. Take the third person. The balabas should still be a shomer.
Or
a third person is not eating. It's no difference.
He's busy eating also.
No difference.
What's the hazard by Krishna? What does that mean?
Shomer.
What does that help?
Ramesh once told me, I'm going to a hasana. I'm meeting the hasana at 4 o'clock. Can't light candles in too early. I won't be coming back till 11 o'clock. So the Mishnah told me, before you leave the house, take your menorah and put it on the table. You see, as soon as you walk in, put it on. As soon as you walk in, that's a shomer.
Ready?
A master.
Oh, like what? If there was no hetzer like that, what would you have to do instead? What would the alternative be if there was no hetzer?
There's no hetzer, go to two different tables. You can't eat together on the
table. No, for Krishna.
For what?
For Krishna.
What would be? Regardless what you're involved in, you must say Krishna. Say Krishna, that's a religion, just not a deal.
Ready?
Wait a minute, let me get something. go on.
Maybe it's harder to stop him, like in the case of davening, right? He's not davening until you remind him. So that's just like a one shot thing. You just want to remind him.
Yeah.
But in the case of the eating, he could take the milk like all the time. So it's much harder to be shomer on that.
That's the answer. That's the answer. That's it. All right. Very good. Very good. If you want to, we don't want you to do it, but in case you cleanse the Eden Shiva, I'll direct you to this Rosh Yeshiva. He's not living anymore. I'll tell you what. You say this is Rabbi Osher Zimmerman. Rabbi Osher Zimmerman, Zachain Nebocha. It's our Talmud. And Rosh Yeshiva once sat on him. He knows the Mishnah Berurah backwards and forwards. He was very good. He used to be Mashgiach in the Shiva for many years. Then he went out and started his own Shiva. But that's the one that Shiva says. A good Shiva. Rabbi Osher Zimmerman.
The guys want to know if everybody can say what? The answer. The guys want to know if everybody can say the answer clearly. They want to say the answer again.
The answer is Rabbi Osher. The answer again, Rabbi Osher. When you have to remind someone to say Kirsten, that's one shot. I remember to tell him, but if he has to be around to make sure that you never make a mistake and reach for that milk, there's no end to it. When once, twice, three times, it's that we're fed to that third part of also forgetting yourself. It's not just one question. Remind him to say Krishna. Okay, I'll do that. He makes the move. But if a question of eating with every second, every minute, every 5 minutes, or to be a shiva, he's not going to remember. All right, Rabbi, say, let's go back to this one. Now this is. Now, I want to. This is the child that asked for smicha in a different yeshiva. Now I'll ask you a shayla that they ask an Ari yeshiva for smicha. Does he get an idea? This, they came back from the Rav HaMachshir, Rav HaMasmich. This must have been at least 50 years ago. Kosher Rebochim. When I ever saw that boys came back in smicha, what's the shayvas? What did they ask? Let me hear the shayvas. This was one of the shayvas. Let me tell you what the shayva was. But please, if I'm asked, I may have asked this, so don't come up with the answer. Let someone else try to get him. Shayvas like this. The wife went with a $50 bill. $50 zlotas, whatever it was, and she's going shopping. On the way, she stopped. She had a cold. She had to open up a pocketbook and take out some kerchief to go find. And then she continued. She come to the store, has to pay. She doesn't have the money. Oi, what happened? Oi, growled. I lost the money. What's going to happen? $50. No. Listen, Taka, there's not much hope that I'll get it back, but I feel very bad, but I'll go home. Maybe my husband can help me out. I'll get some, I don't know. So she starts walking home, same way she came, and she sees at that spot where she opened up the pocketbook, a man bends down and picks up a bill. How much is that? $50. That's my money. I lost it here. I said, what do you want? I want you to give it back to me. I have to feed my wife. Lady, I've been out of work for 2 months. I have the same problem. And I once learned a little bit. I know that once there's a yush, I don't have to give it back. You were me yaish already. Well, I'll tell you the truth, I was, but I need the money. No. She says, no, Michael. She takes him and grabs him and schleps him into the local business. The local business, there was a young man there. His name was Rabbi Guterman, who eventually became one of our three masmichim. And the other Dayanim, here they see this new Dayan just came in, and they want to be Toya al Kamatana. Says, what would you say to this Shaila? Here, you have two people in front of us, and Zish right, Chavakim, and he says, no, she was a Miayish. So Rabbi Guterman says, he has to give the money back. What? He says, what? You have to give it back. But there's years, I'll explain it to you. What did he tell him? How did he placate him? There was you. You means you can either take it. I once saw a Chazon Ish. I can't find it. Many, many years ago. Chazon Ish says, when you find something, you should have no compunctions, assuming there's no... Let's say money. He's talking about money. You find a $50 bill, a $100 bill, take it. He came to the Gilgal. You probably lost it in a different Gilgal, and this is the way Hashem's getting back to you. That's what the Chazon says. I didn't make it up. You lost this in a different Gilgal, and that's how you get the head of it. You should have liked to take it. Anyway, what happened here? Rabbi Gridelman said, no, give her back the $50. Why? Why did he give it back? Why? There was huge here. Real huge. No such thing. Use is use. You can't help it. Thank you. Come on. Come with something else. Go on. Keep that. But you're on the right road. You got to attack the use. You don't know about that. Say we'll just have to. Well, not simply. It had happened. But the Achilles heel is the use. What's wrong with the youth?
The fact that she came back.
What?
The fact that she came back. Why was she going back?
Going back home. Maybe she'll get some more money from her husband. I don't know what she's going to do. She has to pay for the groceries.
The fact that she asked the guy and...
No, she saw him pick it up. She saw him pick up the 50. Wait, that's mine. And that's why I opened my pocketbook. Give it to me. Doesn't help. You see, on the Mishnah Shali, you can't see it. A carrot's a score that you argue on. Then you argue, I said, you. It has to be clear cut. Usually that's how it has to be. Going to Rosh, that's what the Mishnah is. Once you hear the carrot, that's it. There's nothing to talk about.
Really? Is it possible that the Malkum was a simon?
Go on. Well, but the simon doesn't help after you.
Even if you don't have to.
After you, Simon will help. If I have good reason, if he was me, Irish, Simon hides him in the world, I don't have to give it back. But there is a problem with the use. There is a problem with the use. What's the problem with the use? Did I ask this one?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Top for the guys right here.
What? Okay, so quick, we have an answer, our boys. Anybody? She was miyayish. What do you mean she was miyayish? What does that mean, she was miyayish?
She thought she'll never get the money back. She said, I'm going to my husband.
Is that a valid use? Was her use valid? Huh? See, now what's good to you know it? It's not so easy. I know, but you see, they're not getting it so fast. What? I couldn't hear something. What? I couldn't hear what
you said. There's a simon because she knows how much money it is.
I don't know. What? Why? What? The use doesn't mean anything. Why? Because in public. Use can help in public, why not? But this use doesn't help for a different reason. Why doesn't Masha Kona Isha Kona Bala? She's not the violent to me, Aisha the money. I asked the Shiloh here, and I once asked it in L.A., and the president of the Shiva says, Rabbi, you're making a mistake. I guarantee you, as soon as the husband gave her the money, he was Miyayish. Okay. Alright. Okay. All right.
Why is that
now this chart?
Why isn't that a valid point?
Okay. It's a good joke. Rabbi Isaac. Halacha l'maisa. Now this is a big machlekes. If you're wearing a watch. He tells what I'm talking about, a watch that you have to wind. There was such a thing, you had a watch that wind. It's not like we have today. Put a battery in and goes for 3 years. No. You used to have to watch it. Wind the watch. What happens if it runs down and stops on Shabbos? So most posts can held, nothing to do with it. Usher. My flake is whether it's Misakan Mona, or the Chazoni said, you're making a keli, or but Misakan Mona, most posts can say it's Misakan Mona, or you're taking a keli that's not working and you're making it functional. No, but, however, Ramesh and others also, Ramesh and Shem Zalman, Orbach, if Baruch Hashem, you have small children, and you have a wing, a swing, a baby swing, not an electric one, like the one you can't use on Shabbos, but if you have one that doesn't run on electricity, the old-fashioned type, which some people still have, because of Shabbos, if it, you have to wind it, and if it stops, you're allowed to wind it up again. Why? It's also partially you should know, but with Shlomo Zalman and Ramesha, hell, they're allowed to do it. Others say no. They're not going to my legs, but what's the swore to say this is different than a watch? The watch stop, you're fixing it, that's tikkun money. Pardon? What when, did I ask the shower?
Yes.
I asked the shower also.
Last year.
Oh, you're not allowed to fix a tail on top of it. You can't fix
it.
What?
Rabbi.
Yes.
A swing can get
broken. Very good swing. Others argue, but you can't use a broken watch. But here, and the same token, the Shlomo Zalman says, different than the Poskim, if you have a toy that's made like that, you wind it, it runs, stops. As long as we're not talking about Mashmi and Kol, but any kind of a toy, then you use it a little while, and for some reason, you wind it. It ends its play, let's say winding or something. Shlomo Zalman, you're allowed to. That doesn't become mukzah, it's not taken money, and you're allowed to use it.
Why isn't it washing jewelry?
Pardon?
Why isn't it washing jewelry?
It's
like,
what?
It's purpose, it's on my arm, it's jewelry.
Yeah, but.
Winding doesn't make it a
you can't worry. For the watch, you have to. That's a good question, but you have to actually do something. Right now it's not functional, and you're going to have to wind it. And I think we'll measure it. Shlomo Zalman gives the Hezbo, because it's made to run continuously. If it doesn't know it, then you got to push it along, give it a stoop, but it's made to run. A swing or a toy, use it from time to time. That's its function. Sometimes you use it, sometimes it wouldn't, sometimes not. But a watch is made, you wish it would always go. If it doesn't, then you got to fix it. But that's not a toy. A toy, it's got this. There are times you'll play with it, times when you won't. The swing, sometimes you'll wind it, you'll need it, and you let it go for a couple hours. That's what it is.
For a person who wouldn't wear the watch no matter what, as you know, it's a $60,000 watch, you would wear it anyways, regardless of its timekeeping capabilities.
You're going into shul with allowed to wear it in the Shus Rabin. You're asking me when you're allowed to wear a Shabbos.
No.
That's just as far where you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Regardless, you can wear it if you would wear it. If it stopped working, that's a swore. That's a good swore, so I could wear it on Shabbos also, because I wear it anyway. But you can't wind it up.
Does it have to be tight and consistent, or is it going to be loose?
I don't know. Everybody's without marvel, right? Okay, very good.